We all know the story of King Midas, who craved wealth more than life itself, so much so he wished his very touch to turn his world gold, whose greed turned his palace lifeless, stoic statues of the only things that could fill the void he felt when he let his gold lust melt his heart and left his soul to rust. We can all laugh at the greed of this unfortunate king, but the same fear that drove him to misery is the very one that grips our wallets, time, and energy. Because maybe greed isn't just kings hoarding gold, or politicians hoarding votes. Maybe it's the guy down the street going bankrupt over a bigger home, or the college student getting drunk on their student loans. Or maybe it's every time we tell God no instead of letting go. It happens the same way every time. A simple want or desire turns into a fire that rages over the rest of our lives. Midas, at the end of his rope, touched his daughter, who immediately turned to gold. Such a precious metal, but not nearly as precious as the one who loved him most. And really, how different are we, disguising our greed as the need for security? How different are we when we worry and fight over the smallest sums and reject the call to generosity? How different are we from the man who lost everything to something so temporary?
Well, good morning, New Point. We're glad that you're here. We're in this series called Weeds, and we're looking at things that want to choke the life out of you and me. And here's my question this morning. Do you have a little bit of Midas in you? You have a little bit of that guy that we just watched and heard and learned about this morning? You know, I don't know about you, but you know, I've never ran into anyone who said, you know what, I'm greedy. Have you? No. You know, we don't even like to even go there. And yet it's a weed that you and I need to be aware of, because here's what we've learned about weeds. They grow without any help. They just pop up all over the place. You don't have to water them. You don't have to fertilize them. They're just there. They're not like a plant or a flower that takes intentionality by the gardener. No, weeds just grow. And we want to look at this weed this morning called greed. Why? Well, Jesus says this in John 10:10. The thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. But I have come that you might have life and have life to the full. You see, Jesus came so that you could have life and life to the full. Quantity of life and quality of life. And that word full there means complete, satisfied. And yet, you and I have weeds, such as greed, that wants to come and choke the life out of you and me. That's why Solomon tells us in Proverbs 4:23, above all else, guard your what? Your heart. You know that verse. Guard your heart. For out of it flows all of the issues of life. For out of it comes everything you do. And so we're looking at weeds, and we're making a deliberate, intentional choice to guard our hearts against them. And today we want to look at greed. Now, what is greed? Greed is when you and I think that everything that comes through our life or our hands is for our consumption. That it's there for me and me alone. And this is a very, very dangerous weed. It's one that can sneak up on you and me. You know, I was doing some research this past week, and I found out that there's weeds that really look attractive. Some weeds even have flowers blooming, or what I would consider a flower blooming on them. But it's literally a weed, and you have to deal with it. Greed is a little bit like that. Because, you know, how many of us have said that I'm not greedy, I'm just a saver. I'm not greedy, I just plan well. I'm not greedy, I'm just conservative. I'm not greedy, I just don't like to be dependent upon other people. I'm not greedy, I'm just a good steward. And those are all good things. But they can also hide greed in your life as well as in my life. Now, again, if I took a survey this morning and I would say, how many of us this morning would say that we're greedy? Probably nobody would raise their hands. We would say, well, I'm not greedy, but I know I could be what? More generous. I know I could be more freer with my stuff. But very few of us, if any of us, would say that we're greedy. Now, I just want you to know this morning, okay? I'm going to be an equal opportunist. I'm going to offend every single one of you, okay? I know this is a delicate, sensitive subject, and yet I'm going to go there with you. And we're not taking a special offering this morning, okay? So this is not a message about you giving a special offering here. But here's what I want you to understand. Greed is a weed that you and I have to deal with because it affects all of your financial decisions. And it not only affects all of your financial decisions, it also impacts all of your relationships. Every single one of them. And here's what I know. Greed is not about money. Greed is not about money. Greed is about your heart and my heart. And so we want to do what Solomon has said in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. We want to guard our heart because we know that everything we do flows from our heart. And we don't want greed to set in there. Now look what it says here in Timothy. This is why this is so important. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Now, again, the love of money or the love of mammon or the love of stuff. Okay? When we think money, we're thinking just dollar bills. But this literally means stuff or possessions. For the love of possessions is a root of all kinds of evil. Doesn't say that money's evil. Doesn't say that things are evil or possessions are evil. Says the love of it is. Some people, this is why we have to guard our hearts, some people eager for money or stuff or possessions have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. Wow. What is he saying here? It could read something like this. Because some people are greedy, they have wandered from the faith and they have pierced themselves with many griefs. They have injured themselves. They have hurt themselves and others in their life. Now, what we have to understand is the seriousness of this. And it's so serious that Jesus talked about it over and over and over and over again. Matter of fact, he was in a conversation, and I have it there for you in your notes in Luke chapter 12. Look what Jesus says. Watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Wow. He says this passionately. He says, watch out. Be on guard against all kinds of greed. So there's more than one kind. And that's the interesting thing here. You know, we usually think of the person who is greedy, who has no compassion, who has no feelings. Who has no what? No heart. And yet that's not true. You know, what happens is you can, you know, I could put pictures up here today of starving children, and I could give a talk and move your heart and even bring you to tears. And you know what you could say? Why, I wish I had something to give. That is so moving. It's touched my heart. But there's a good chance the reason why you can't give is because you're greedy. Y'all okay on that one? And what happens is you think you're not greedy because your heart was moved or you had some kind of passion there. But the fact of the matter is you've consumed everything that's come through your hands so you don't have anything to give. And what is greed? Thinking that everything that comes through my hands or my possessions is for me. And so he's talking about a kind of greed that you and I have of where we think that everything that comes to us is for us. He goes on to say, look what he says here. Watch out, be on guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in the abundance of what? Possessions. What he is saying here is that life equals more than just stuff. And what he is saying is this. We become greedy when we can't wait for that next purchase. When I get that next thing, guess what? Life's really going to click in and life's going to be great and I'm so excited about it. And what he is saying here is you know what? If you think that life is the abundance of possessions, you're greedy. You're missing it. And he says here, watch out. Now, see, here's what happens, okay? We say, you know what? I wish I had the money when somebody comes knocking on your door or my door or the church or anybody for a donation. You know, if I had the money, I would. But it never keeps us from spending, does it? Because the fact of the matter is, you don't let the fact that you don't have cash stop you from getting a new car. You don't let the fact that you don't have cash stop you from upgrading your phone. You don't let the fact that you don't have cash stop you from getting a flat screen TV. You don't let the fact that you don't have cash stop you from fill in the blank. Why? Because you're greedy. Hello? Because you're greedy. Because what happens is you'll do it for you, but you won't do it for someone else. And God says that's greed. That's why Jesus says, watch out, be on guard. Because of all kinds of greed. And if you don't watch this, it will literally choke the life out of you. And what happens is this, when we think that life is the abundance of possessions, we start prioritizing stuff over people. Have you ever done that? Let me ask you this. Does your spouse feel that you prioritize some things in your life over them? The car. The golf clubs. I mean, we could just go on down. The furniture. And what happens is that lets you know that you're having a problem with this weed called greed. You're greedy. You're just greedy. Because what happens is you're prioritizing things over people. And that's why Jesus says here, watch out, be on guard for all kinds of greed, because life is not about the abundance of possessions. Y'all okay? Tough, isn't it? See, we see the greed in somebody else's life. We don't see it in our own life because we make excuses. Well, I'm just conservative. I'm just a planner. And the fact of the matter is that can be a form of greed. Still love me? I hope so, because I got more, okay? I got more. So Jesus answers this. Do you know that Jesus talked more about money, stuff, possessions, than he did heaven or hell or even love or even prayer? Why? Because this is such an important issue for you and me. And we have to be ruthless in dealing with this weed. Now, in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus tells us how we can guard our lives and our heart against greed. And this is huge because your heart is the filter that you make all of your decisions through. And you have to guard it. And if you don't, then greed will slip in. And you'll begin to make all of your decisions through the filter of greed instead of a heart that's pure. Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 and 21. Let's look. Here's what Jesus says in about guarding against greed. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So here's the first key in guarding your heart against greed. You have to make the right investment. You've got to make the right investment. And by the way, all of these are an act of your will. They're not an act of feelings, okay? You can feel a certain way, but that doesn't mean that you're generous, okay? Just because you'd like to do something doesn't mean that you're generous. It's when you do something that makes you generous. And so all of these are an act of the will. The first thing that we have to do is we have to make the right investment. Look what he says here. He says, do not store up treasures here on earth where moth eats them and rust destroys them and where thieves break in and steal. Now, okay, just for you savers and just for you planners out there, he's not saying do not save, okay? You can go to Proverbs. You can read other passages in Scripture of where Jesus says the wise man saves for the what? For the future. So he's not saying do not save, and he's not saying live an irresponsible life. What he is saying is this: do not store up. You know, isn't it amazing what we have here in America? We build buildings to store stuff. And you can rent storage out to store your stuff. That's not even at your house. And it's amazing because sometimes our garages are even bigger than our houses. Why? Because all the stuff we have. And that's what he's talking about here. He's talking about don't continue to store up things. He says don't do that. Look what he says here. He says store your treasures in heaven where moth and rust cannot destroy and thieves do not break in and steal. And so what he is saying is this: you've got to make the right investment. Don't make the investment here on earth where moth and rust destroy and thieves can break in. Make your investment in heaven because it will not be destroyed. Now, Jesus was talking about this same thought in Luke chapter 12, verse 33. It's there in your notes. Here's what he says: sell your possessions, sell what you have in storage, and give it to charity. Get it in circulation. What good is it doing in storage? You haven't seen it in years. The reason why it's there is because you're greedy. You're greedy. He says, sell your possessions and give to charity. Provide purses for yourself that will not wear out. A treasure in heaven that will not fail, where no thieves come near and no moths destroys. He is saying, I want you to have a paradigm shift. And if you're going to deal with the weed of greed, you have to make the right investment. And the right investment is in eternity, not here. And so he says, sell your possessions. Sell your possessions that you got in your storage. And give it to who? People. Give it to charity. Let it do some good. Because here's what's going to happen. When you die, your kids are going to fight all over it. And so what he is saying here is make the right investments. He says get real creative and take the stuff that you have in storage that you haven't looked at in a year or two and sell it and put it into circulation. Why? Because where your treasure is, there are the desires of your heart. So do you really want to know where your heart is? Just follow the what? Follow the money. Well, I've got three storage places. Well, your heart's in things. Hello? Because if it was in people, you know what you'd do? You'd sell that and you'd put it in circulation. That's what Jesus would say. And Jesus would tell you and me that if we're just storing up things here on earth, you're greedy. Y'all okay? You're greedy. And he says, if you really want to know where your heart is, don't tell me where your heart is. Don't tell me how you feel. Let's find out where your stuff is. Let's follow the money. Because what happens is this. Your heart is where you have put your investment in. And whatever you're investing in is where your heart is. And so the good news is you and I can redirect our heart. Because all we have to do is start investing in something else. And when you start investing that and you put your time and your money there, guess what happens? It gets your what? It gets your heart. And so Jesus would say here, if you're really going to be serious about this weed called greed, if you're going to guard your heart, you have to make the right investment, and the right investment is in heaven. The right investment is in eternity. And you say, well, what does that look like? Well, look at this verse right here. Jesus is talking again. I tell you, use your worldly wealth to gain friends for yourself so that when it's gone, and it will all pass, okay? So when it's gone, you will be welcomed into eternal dwellings. You know what he is saying here? He's commenting on what he said in Luke chapter 12. He's saying, sell your possessions to give to charity. He says, if you will do that, okay, and if you will make friends, what happens is when you die and go to heaven, the impact that that had on people's lives, when they die and go to heaven, they will be there to greet you. So how do you guard against greed? You got to make the right investments. So you know what that means for some of us here? Got to sell some stuff. Got to sell some stuff. If you really want to deal with greed. Jesus goes on to say, you know what, you not only make the right investment, but you have the right perspective. You have the right perspective. Look what he says here. This is incredible. He goes on to say, which seems like it doesn't make sense, but it does. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? Now here's what he's saying. He says, the eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes, in some translations, it would be translated good. Here it says healthy. Your whole body will be full of light. What he is saying is your eyes direct your what? Your body. That's why they're in front of your head and not on the back of your head. Okay? They lead you. And what he is saying here is this. If your eye, okay, if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. And you know the interesting thing? Listen to me. You know the interesting word here for healthy? Is generous. If your eyes are generous, then guess what? Your whole body will be full of light. And if your eye is unhealthy, which in some translations says bad, you know what that word means? Envious. We talked about that last week. If your eyes are envious, then your body will be full of darkness. Hello? You see how serious this is? He just took it down another notch with them. He was saying, hey, you know what? You either have generous eyes of looking where you can give and where you can bless and where you can do good, or you have envious eyes, unhealthy eyes of looking at, why can't I have that? I want that. I need this. And he says, if that's you, then you know what? Your body is full of what? Darkness. And how great is that darkness? What he is saying is that greed has the potential to impact you in ways that you never thought. And some of us are experiencing it right now. Your marriage is full of darkness. You know why? Because you're greedy. You're greedy. You have envious eyes. Some of us here, our life is full of darkness. You know, some of us, have you ever heard this? I just feel like there's a dark cloud over me. Hello? Hello? Jesus would say, you know what? Probably because you're greedy. Probably because you're greedy. Let me ask you a question this morning. Have you ever met a generous person who wasn't happy? I haven't. Every generous person I've ever met has been happy. Why? They're full of what? Full of light. Have you ever met a stingy person who wasn't happy? What's the word? Miser? Miserable? Sure. And what Jesus is saying here is you have to have the right perspective. and that it isn't a financial issue. It's a heart issue. And that you and I have to realize that, that we have to make the right investment and we have to have the right perspective. And then he says you have to have the right allegiance. Look what he says here. He goes on. I mean, Jesus is just kicking it, man. He goes on to say, no one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money, or mammon, or possessions, or stuff. What he is saying, now see, that doesn't make sense to you and me, does it? Because what we would think is this, well, you can't serve God and the devil at the same time, but that's not what he said. That's why this weed is so dangerous. What he says is you cannot serve God and money. And there's a tension there, isn't there? When it comes to this, because here's what you have to understand. God wants to be the master of your life. And yet we want to live our own life because we have bought into the lie that life consists of the abundance of possessions. And so you know what? Listen, we don't want God to be our master. We want God to be our helper. But he's never agreed to be your helper. He's agreed to be your master. See what happens is we like to hold God on a retainer, don't we? We like to go after all this stuff that we want, and then when we get in trouble, we like to dial him up and somehow call him on a retainer and say, God, I need help. We need to make this payment on the house. We need to. Why are we there? Because of greed. Because what happened? We want to consume and consume and consume. And it's because of our heart. And what happens is this can be in two different ways, okay? This allegiance. Because if you're married and you're here this morning, you know that your spouse is usually a little bit different than you are, right? Because probably in every marriage you have a spender and you have a what? A saver, okay? You have a consumer and a hoarder, right? And so what happens is both of these can be a form of greed. Because the spender just spends, and the saver just what? Save. And so you don't even need God. And so what happens is your money becomes your God. Your possessions become your God because you're having more reliance on that than you are on God. Y'all okay this morning? And so you have to have the right allegiance. And Jesus is saying here that you cannot serve both God and money. You see, God wants to be the master and the ruler of your life and my life. He doesn't want to come in like a superhero and save you from time to time when you need that. When you throw up the bat signal. It's, God, I need help! He doesn't want to operate that. He wants to be your father. He wants to be your master. And so you have to have the right allegiance. Now, for you to make this so, guess what you got to do? You got to give. Three simple words. Give, save, and live. Now, you've heard me say this before. Patty and I, we practice this with our kids. We have three cups at home. Give, save, and live. You can spend it however you want to. And it's really give 10%, save 10%, and live on the 80%. Now, why do we do that? Let me tell you why. Okay, or what you're thinking. Because the church needs the money. Let me tell you, my kids tithe to our church is about $2 a week. You think it's because of that? I have three sons. Probably someday they're going to get married. And I don't want their wives to feel that they're competing for the stuff that they're racing after. I have a daughter. Probably she'll get married. I don't want her husband to feel that he's competing with her greed, with her hunger for more and more and more and more. That's why. That's why when we talk about something like this, some of you just don't understand. You know why? Because what happens, you think it's a gimmick for the church. And it's not a gimmick for the church. It has to do with your heart, because where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. And God wants your possessions, because he knows that when he has your possessions, he has your what? He has your heart. And one of the smartest things that you can do is to be able to teach your kids and train your kids that, hey, you know what? You have, because listen, anytime you live on 10 and 10 and 80, you know what you automatically have to do? You automatically have to lower your lifestyle. And you have to say, you know what? I'm going to have to wait on that. I'm going to have to save for that. I'm going to have to, and what happens is then things and possessions do not overrule people and relationships. So you got to have the right allegiance. Let me give you this last one, and that is this. You got to have the right confidence. You got to have the right confidence. You got to have the right confidence to make the right investment and to have the right perspective and to be able to develop the right allegiance. Look what it says here. This is incredible. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? He is saying here, do not worry about what you're going to eat, drink, or wear. Now, what does that mean to us today? Don't worry about your kids' college education. That's what that means. Don't worry about, well, can we afford this type of home, or can we afford that type of home? Or how are we going to do this, or how are we going to do that? What he is saying is, don't lay in bed and worry about money and possessions. Don't allow it to rob you of your peace. Don't allow it to steal your joy. Don't allow it to consume your thinking. He says, don't do that. He says, don't worry about that stuff in life. Look what he goes on to say. He says, for the pagans run after these, people who don't even know me. That's what consumes them. That's what keeps them up at night. And your heaven, check this out. And your heavenly Father knows that you need them. So here's the confidence. So seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. That's confidence. Knowing that your heavenly Father already knows what you need. And that, you know what? As you seek him, and as you pursue him, that, you know what? He will make sure that your needs are taken care of. And greed will not come and choke the life out of you and out of your relationships. Now, here's what you might be thinking. Does that mean I can't get a new car? No. Does that mean I can't get a flat screen TV? No. Does that mean I can't upgrade my phone? No. What it means is this, is that you take a hold and not allow greed to consume you. And probably the best way, you have to be intentional. The cure for greed is generosity. And what I would say is this, I would encourage you to begin to sit down and to think, you know what, I'm going to determine a certain percentage that I'm going to give away, that I'm going to give. And I'm going to make it a priority. It's going to be the first thing in my life, first thing when I get my checks. And then as God continues to bless me, I'm going to move that percentage up, progressively grow it. And if you will do that, you know what? You will kill the greed in your life. I promise you. And things will not take priority over people and relationships. Jesus would say this, watch out, be on guard against all kinds of greed, because life does not consist of the abundance of things. Would you pray with me? God, we thank you this morning for your word. And God, you know, to be honest, you know what? We're all here because we live in a consumer society. And everything is saying, you need this, you want this, you gotta have this. And God, we can allow this weed to grow of where it impacts every decision that we make. And it can not only hurt us, but it can hurt the people that we love around us the most. May today, God, we be deliberate and make the choice to be generous and kill this weed called greed. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.